United Way of Greater Cleveland mobilizes our community to advance education, income, and health. Join us and live united at unitedwaycleveland.org. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci back with you here on ESPN 850 WKNR, wrapping up our second hour here of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. If you missed the beginning of the show, you can get it at clevelandbrowns.com or on the Cleveland Browns app, which you can download at the App Store. You can get it on demand and hear interviews with Joe Banner. That's right, the CEO of the Cleveland Browns. Joe Banner was with us in hour number one. We had a great roundtable with Doug Deacon and the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Joining us now, the great Gerard Cherry. And Gerard, earlier on the show, we went inside the locker room with Buster Skrine, who talked about getting in the weight room, getting bigger, watching extra hours of film to improve his technique and read the tendencies of the defense of the opponent. What has been the biggest changes you've seen in Buster Skrine that have allowed him to develop so quickly this season after he was much maligned headed into 2013?
What's the culmination, Nathan, of all those things that Buster said as far as getting stronger and studying the game itself and becoming a student of the game? That all plays a part. And what that leads to is confidence in your game. And when you start making plays and you have some semblance of success, you start actually believing, you know what? I belong in this league. And I think that was really the primary issue with Buster Skrine. I call it the small school syndrome, where you have a talent, you have ability, but you just don't believe. And once you start believing, you start making plays and things start happening. I think that is what's transpired for Buster Skrine, is that he's had success. Because last year when you looked at his game, and a lot of people gave me flack for it, but I would say Buster Skrine is only millimeters away from making the plays. He was in the picture. I've seen cases where guys were not even in a screen. So hence the name Buster Skrine. So in his case, he was in the screen. So that was a positive start. So I just felt that a combination of practice, getting better, and more importantly, confidence and believing in his ability, that you would see a different player this year. And so far, that has been the case.
And very interesting today that Ray Horton, in doing his weekly media briefing, brought up the idea that his defensive MVP through these first seven games was none other than Tayshawn Gibson. He threw that out there, and that, you know, that caught some people by surprise, because they said, wait a minute, he's talking about Tayshawn Gibson. You think about Joe Hayden, you think about TJ Ward, the way he's been playing also at the safety position, and others you could maybe point to within the front seven, but he went there. What's your thought on that?
My thought is that was that pleasant surprise. That was where that huge question mark was, because you drafted the guy in Slaughter, I believe, from Notre Dame to be the guy, and obviously he has the ankle issues, and you weren't quite sure who would be the one to assume the role as their starting free safety. So really what that tells me is that Gibson has been a more than pleasant surprise for Ray Horton. And if you look at his body of work, he has been solid. He has made plays, and he's done the things necessary. And you don't watch the tape or games and walk away from it saying, gosh, this guy is a liability back there. And that was probably the biggest fear of Ray Horton, is that if you don't have any protection with the last line of defense and that being your free safety, you're going to be in trouble. And that's in any type of defense, even if you do have a stellar pass rush. So I take that as a compliment to Gibson, and also to make the statement that, hey, he was a pleasant and has been a great surprise for Ray Horton and company.
I remain struck by one of the comments Michael Irvin made on our show a couple weeks ago when he was talking about Deion Sanders and Ken Norton going over to the Niners and how they lost leaders at each of the key levels on defense. And when you look at this Cincinnati Bengals team, Geno Atkins is banged up. He will not play. Ray Maluga is banged up in the middle. And, of course, on the back end, Leon Hall, their top cover corner, he will not play in this game as well. How does that impact the defense and the chemistry when you really lose your leaders and generals at each of those three levels?
Well, first off, from a talent standpoint, these guys are on the football field, and in secondary, it's hard to find one guy, let alone two guys that can cover. So when you lose a guy like Leon Hall right there, who are you going to replace him with that can come in and fill that void if you have a receiver that you need to just absolutely shut down? And the Browns do have that player in Josh Gordon. So right there, you're hurting. You're saying to yourself, okay, we're going to lose a mismatch. We're going to have a mismatch naturally, because that's what the offensive coordinator is looking for. And then when you get to the whole idea of breeding confidence and having someone who can take the huddle by charge and just be that leader and the one who just galvanizes the rest of the guys to get them to play at a higher level, that's important too. So when you're missing as many pieces and facets as what this Bengals defense is missing right now, yeah, it's a huge issue. You just don't fill it in by throwing guys in there. It takes time to build that chemistry, first of all, and then when you have to do a mismatch mosh type of a situation during the course of a season, it takes a couple weeks before these guys can really gel and get a sense and rhythm and a feel. Now, the defense is always at an advantage over the offense when a season starts out, because it's easier to get your rhythm and your timing and your communication. The orchestration is not as great, or execution, I should say. But at the same time, when you're in the midst of a middle of a season where offense has been playing together and they're starting to get a feel for each other, and then you throw a bunch of new guys in there who may not quite understand the body language of what a guy may be feeling or thinking, or the calls and all those things, it plays a huge part in it. So right there, if that is what the Bengals are coming to the game with, they're at a stark disadvantage from a defensive standpoint.
Gerard Cherry joining us, as he regularly does here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Gerard, as we talk about which team maybe feels the most pressure in this game, we've had this discussion during the show. I mean, it would seem pretty obvious that the Bengals come into this feeling the most sense of pressure, because the Browns are doing the unexpected. This isn't what typically where they typically find themselves this time of year, nor did any of us really believe that that was going to be the case this time of year, but they're there. But the Bengals are the team that was supposed to be in contention, and the Bengals were the team that had been rolling along before losing these last two games. And so they're in they're definitely reeling. They're in a skid. In order for them to avoid what could be termed their flat-out disaster, is they can't lose this game. So how much does that play into, you think, their thinking, and how much of maybe an advantage is that possibly to the Browns?
Well, here's the situation. Advantage is hard to sell, Vic, because one of the issues with this young team that we've found to be a problem is matching the energy of its opponents, and can you do that on a consistent basis? And that's what we need to see this weekend, because, yes, there will be a greater sense of urgency per se, and you all want to win football games, don't get me wrong, but when you're in the midst of a two-game slide and it could go to three, there's something right there where jobs may be lost and replacements being made, and they're starting to look on the waiver wire as well as in the draft for who's going to be the guy next year to fulfill the void that you have presently created. So right there, just from a personal standpoint, players in the locker room for the Bengals are starting to look around inside of each other and saying, you know what, we better get this thing together. And in particular, I look at the quarterback situation with Andy Dalton, and he's under duress. You go from being player of the month to now probably worst player of the month in that quarterback position, doesn't help your cause either. So right now, yes, the Cincinnati Bengals do have a greater sense of urgency because there's more at stake, and the Browns are kind of in that feel-good zone of, hey, we're just trying to do what we're doing, and we're playing meaningful football. We're happy with that. But the key part is, you cannot fall into that trap if you're the Browns. You have to go out there and match the energy level and intensity level for four full quarters of what the Cincinnati Bengals will be bringing, because right now it's on the brink. If you can take the heart of Cincinnati Bengals, take control of this division, you have made a monumental statement to not only your division but to the rest of the NFL that this team is well ahead, that being the Browns, a schedule of what's supposed to be taking place as far as becoming an up-and-comer team in this league, which is the National, obviously, Football League.
Gerard, as you look at this Cincinnati Bengals team, you look at the Cleveland Browns, I think maybe this game can come down to which team is more physical, which team is a little bit more nasty. We heard Willis McGahee talk about which team wants it more. You have to want it. I think that gives the advantage to the Cleveland Browns. I think they are the more physical team, especially with Geno Atkins out. No, taking nothing away from a Cincinnati Bengals D-line that played very well last week against the Ravens, but I think this is a Browns team that has a little bit of that nastiness to them.
Well, every game, Nathan, is going to come down to that. Who executes and who punches the other guy in the mouth and does it more consistently and does it effectively. And when you have that angle and that angst, and despite all the things that are being done to make the game more physically friendly, you can't take that element away. You have to play physical, and if you are that physical team, if you are controlling the trenches and you are imposing your will on the opposite football team, you're going to win games. And here's the Browns' chance to do that, to be the ultra-physical team and take it to another level, but do it in a smart manner and fashion. Don't do it with the, I'm hitting you late, I'm being chippy, and I'm going to get a late flag, because that's one thing that will come into play, because this game will probably be close that you cannot afford to have those type of penalties, but do it in a smart manner and fashion. If the Browns can do that, yes, you have an advantage, and you have to play that way, because it goes back to what I initially said. It's going to be about matching the intensity level of the Cincinnati Bengals, because right now they have to be almost in desperation mode, because they cannot afford to have a three-game slide, especially against the Cleveland Browns, who are in their division and will be doing much to gain much more ground on them and take control of the division.
Gerard, great as always, and we'll do this again tomorrow, buddy.
Sounds like a plan.
He is Gerard Cherry. Of course, catch him with Bruce Hooley on Hooley and Gerard. That is following this show, immediately following this show. Let's get into some of your tweets next. At Browns _daily is where you tweet us. Call us if you want to, 216-578-0850. Always love hearing from you. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. It is Cleveland Browns Daily. It is driven proudly by Liberty Ford. So she makes me loud. Now the whole block wants me, but I'm